This is Jeff Fedoten with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I break down the loss to the Bills and preview a Super Bowl 54 rematch against the 49ers. But first, Joe, a funny story. I was interviewing former Chiefs legend Tony Gonzalez on Tuesday afternoon. He's now on the Amazon Prime NFL Studio show. So I was asking him about Bezos and Amazon, and must have turned on my Alexa device. Just imagine all these things, music started playing in the background.
That's awesome. You know what, though? That's great. I'm sure Tony got a kick out of it, right? Considering the whole, I do that all the time with our, smart devices. I'm always, my watch sometimes, I have an Apple Watch and I'll be in a meeting or something and it'll just start talking to me. I don't know why. I guess it heard something, Siri or something in there. And then I do it all the time with our Alexa and, it's crazy. But yeah, wild stuff. You're becoming like the tight end interviewer.
And then
Between Travis and Tony, my gosh, who's next? Jonathan Hayes.
right. We got to get. I would love to speak to Hayes, and then
Well,
there
we've
it is,
had Keith Cash. We've had Keith
Keith Cash.
Cash.
That's true. That's true. And Kelsey and Gonzalez is actually. I interviewed Kelsey for a different story, and I'm going to do something on the two of them and their relationship. But going back to the Chiefs and the Bills game and the 49ers game coming up. Joe, I don't think the Chiefs fans should feel too bad about this loss. I thought the Chiefs acquitted themselves pretty well. I think the Bills are the better team right now, especially with the Chiefs down to defensive starters. I thought they played really well. Like I'm actually encouraged more than discouraged after
Yeah,
this
it was
game.
a. I mean, listen. It was a good game. I mean, it was a great game. I thought the Chiefs played well. I mean, there are. I have three takeaways from the game, and I've been using this kind of term that two are reasons, and one could be perceived as an excuse, right? Because there's I do that. I use those terms all the time, and they're not really interchangeable, right? There's reasons and excuses, and I think the first two are reasons, and I they do give me a little pause, though. They do give me some concern, is the lack of being able to establish the run game. I'm concerned about it, Jeff. I see what really successful teams do with the balance of running and passing to keep defenses number one on their toes, to force defensive coordinators to have to game plan for it, and to, in football terms, force teams to bring seven or eight guys up into the box, as we always like to say, right? I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I saw a tweet that was, kind of like sparked a sort of a thought in my mind, and I was like, oh yeah, it's kind of true. Like, we have yet to see him break tackles. So the tweet was like, when is Clyde Edwards-Helaire going to break some tackles? And I just, we're not seeing that right now, this running game. Now, we hear a lot about Isaiah Pacheco runs hard, and when he runs, it looks like he's hurting the ground because he runs so hard. I mean, there's a lot of great sayings out there about him, and I do see flashes of that, but is the numbers, the production's not there. And they're not giving him the ball enough to see if he can be that pound ground and pound running back. So there's the one thing that I think is a reason why the Chiefs weren't successful in that game. Number two reason is the speed at which rushers were getting to Patrick. Now, I have no problem with him getting pressure. We all know that he can handle the pressure like no other quarterback. And I'm not being a homer about that, a Chiefs homer about that. The guy is literally the best about seeing pressure, feeling pressure, and finding what you and I have used this term before, he finds the pocket within the pocket, right?
He, by the way, during his Wednesday press conference, I know that's one of your favorite terms, and Patrick was kind of talking about that. He didn't say pocket within, but he's like, I've got to find a better job finding that pocket. But anyhow, it kind of echoing
He's
your
listening.
point.
Listen, we know he's listening. We know he's, Patrick, thank you for giving us using our phrase in your presser. But but gosh, Jeff, the speed at which Von Miller got to him a couple of times, like you can't that no quarterback is going to be able to withstand and to fight off that kind of pressure. So those are the two things that have me most concerned, that I know that Eric and Andy and Andy Heck, the O-line coach, will work on, right, is the coordination of the running game with the line and the running backs, and, you know, the ability to keep Patrick a little safer in the pocket. The other thing that is as would be seen as an excuse, if you were to say it by itself and out of context, would be the fact that our defense was relatively decimated.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is, you know, if you took it out of context, you say it was an absolute excuse of why the Chiefs lost. But come on. I mean, Willie Gay Jr., I mean, come on, the guy covers, he's a great cover linebacker, he's a great running linebacker, you know, in stopping the run. You know, you're missing your starting corner. Like, it just was not a good day for the defensive, what I would call backfield, including Willie Gay, who's, I know he's a linebacker, but all in all, the defensive air quote backfield was not 100%. And that gave Josh Allen that gave him an opening, and he took it. So yeah, this is going to be a great rematch. And in keeping with the Rocky theme, you know, of like me seeing Rocky the musical a couple of weeks ago that we talked about in the pod, like, Rocky lost the first one in a close split decision with Apollo Creed, right? And now we wait for the big fight, and, you know, Patrick and the Chiefs come back swinging, and they win the next one, because they're going to come in healthy and they're going to fix these things.
So many of the players after the game indicated like they think we're going to see the Bills again. Even Andy Reid, who, you know, never won to look ahead or anything, kind of insinuated that too. And yeah. Yeah, to your point, that's why I was encouraged, is that, you know, the defense held the Bills to 24 points, and despite all those guys missing games. And part of it, you know, there's some unsung heroes I wanted to mention. Part of it is McKenzie on the Bills was really killing him. He fumbled that backward pass. He stumbled on a fourth and goal pass. He had another drop. So he was kind of one of the unsung heroes for the Chiefs. Two other facets I want to mention: the special teams were incredible. I think that really kept the margin very close. Townsend had punts of 58, 56, and 60 yards. Butker, of course, hitting 62-yard field goal record in Arrowhead and for the Chiefs. And Willie Gay is coming back, but Darius Harris did pretty well filling in. Had a tackle for loss, a fumble recovery, and a pass deflection. You know, Joe, and part of the reason I'm encouraged for this, you know, there's a lot that could happen. There's a lot of games left to be played. But I think going into the season, I really thought the AFC West was going to be so much more competitive. It's really looking like a two-horse race in the AFC, that the AFC West is looking so weak outside the Chiefs. So it looks like the Chiefs and the Bills and kind of everyone else in the AFC.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. And just to circle back to the commentary about the special teams, honest to goodness, I mean this, if there were MVP, you know, trophies to be handed out per game, you know, I know they do that in hockey, right? They have the guys come back out and skate and they get the three stars and all that stuff. It's, for me, it would have been Tommy Townsend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would have been the one guy. I mean, Butker, yes, of course, the record-setting field goal, like coming off of the injury and, you know, just the whole 9 yards against the wind, like crazy 62-yarder, right? But Tommy Townsend was changing the game with those punts. Like, those were game-changing field position punts that he was, you know, and they made commentary, you know, during the broadcast about how it's not just booming them distance wise, but the hang time and the air that he was getting under those punts to allow the team to get under to cover was astonishing. Like, it was unbelievable. And Marty, like, I kept hearing was the speeches that Marty Schottenheimer used to give us about field position. He was a huge field position coach. And I'm telling you that if the Chiefs would have pulled that game out, you know, I know we don't generally give MVPs to losing teams, but if the Chiefs would have pulled that game out, I, for me, it would have been Tommy Townsend. I really do. I would have been like, I would have made an argument that he would have received the most valuable player for that game. And I hope he continues that, because it can be a game changer. So yeah, I'm still super bullish on this team based on everything we've talked about. based on we know that Andy, you know, makes corrections. And given the fact that, like you said, Jeff, to kind of dovetail your last comment about where the AFC is going, and I don't want to say disappointed in the AFC West, because, you know, I'm disappointed in the fact that maybe I didn't see this coming, because all I talked about the hype all offseason was that, you know, this AFC West was going to, they were going to beat the daylights out of each other the whole season, and they were going to limp into the playoffs because they were going to be so competitive, and the Chargers and Raiders and Broncos with these quarterbacks, and, you know, it was just going to be such a battle royal, to use a WWF term, you know, and I'm not seeing it. Really not. I'm seeing the Chiefs like walk away with the AFC West. I mean, I don't want to knock on wood, I don't want to jinx them, but like, geez, they're going to walk away with the AFC West title. And I think there's not going to be a whole lot of beating up, air quote, going on in the AFC West, which is, I mean, it's kind of disappointing, because, you know, you want it to be like that, right? You want to have those division rivals.
Yeah, I am disappointed. Like, you know, I was looking forward to like the primetime game later in the season, the Broncos Chiefs. Now it's like, oh man, I got to watch the Broncos again. They're always
it's not good. It's not good that the Broncos are, it's, there's something going on. I think the Chargers will get it together. They're still
the
pretty
Chargers
talented.
Are always
team.
A threat, you know, really, even going back into the Philip Rivers era, they've always been a challenge for the Chiefs. Well, football is back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, matchup info, player news, and game trends. And as your continued source for all sports wagering info, Bet Online features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and the easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events like MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to receive your rewards. Bet Online, where the game starts. And Joe, right now, Bet Online has the Chiefs favored by 3 over the 49ers. And there's a lot to unpack about this game. Super Bowl 54 rematch. 49ers have the number one defense. But really, the most interesting thing, the 49ers have former Chiefs cornerback Charvarius Ward at cornerback. They also have Tarvarius Moore, a defensive back. So they have Charvarius and Tarvarius, both hailing from Mississippi. That's really the fact you need to know about this opponent on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm just glad Legarius didn't go.
Legarius, need, right? Right.
And, you know, added to the rhyming of their defensive backfield. But yeah, I mean, this game, I go back and forth with this game. I think a lot of fans are, because the 49ers at times show so much promise.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other times when they just don't look like they have it together. It's they're very, I love that term you introduced me to. They're very mercurial, right? they're up and down. They're up and down. I don't see a consistency out of them. That scares me a little bit in some ways, because this game could be a walk away for the Chiefs, right? Even though it's on the road and they got to travel to, you know, the West Coast, not like, but you know, I think the Chiefs are going to win this game by 10. I really do. I know there's going to be some inside, using this term incorrectly, but some inside baseball there that, you know, Charvarius is going to be sharing with the team about coverages and different things like that. And that could give the 49ers a little bit of a leg up that he knows this team so well. You always fear those things when a key player like that goes on to another team. But I just have a feeling the Chiefs are going to come in this game with a big chip on their shoulder, and you know, they're out to prove something, that, you know, that last game against the Bills was a great game, and that it's not going to stop the Chiefs, and that was just a speed bump on the road.
You know, exactly. I think that it's hard to see the Chiefs losing twice in a row. They're always so good after a loss. So I see the Chiefs winning, but Joe, I think it's going to be much tougher than you. Like, I think it's close to that Bet Online line of 3. I think Chiefs by 3, maybe even the single point. That I think the Niners, some of it is also injuries. The Niners have 9 players on injured reserve. Ward is banged up. We mentioned him, who's a key player, been playing really well for him. Also, Nick Bosa and Trent Williams might be coming back. That would help
Yeah.
things for a lot. The Niners are a good team. Injuries have really been the story of the year. And they have the number one defense statistically. So I think that's going to be a tough opponent. Also, I think there's going to be motivation that a lot of faces from Super Bowl 54 that they lost to the Chiefs. It's interesting, Joe, that the Chiefs actually have 13 players from that game who should be playing in this game, including Blake Bell. I'm including him. He's still banged up, but he was on that game. They have Patrick Mahomes, obviously, Kelce, Mecole Hardman, Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, Frank Clark were all starters. Andrew Wiley started, but he's now playing tackle, not guard. You have the special teams guys, Butker, Winchester, and also Allegretti and Kalen Saunders, and we're backups. But the Niners have 20 players from
Wow.
that squad, and some of them are injured. But they have Mike McGlinchey, George Kittle, Juszczyk, the fullback, Garoppolo, Debo, Jeff Wilson, Tevin Coleman, Ross Dwelly, Daniel Brunskill, and defensive starters, Armstead, Bosa, Warner, Greenlaw. And then they have a bunch of guys hurt, like Mosley, Al-Shahir, Jordan Matthews, and they're special teamers too. So I think that's an interesting part that so many guys are back. And I think that is going to be motivation for the Niners.
Yeah, no, that's a boy, Jeff. That's great insight. What a great statistic that you pulled up there with all those names of the people. And yeah, backups are not backups. It's still they're still part of the team, and they're still, guys that were part of that game. And you're right, we'll bring that energy to this game, and remember that. I mean, that's it's for the 49ers. No math major, but that's almost half, right? It's at least almost a little more than a third of the 53 man. That's saying something. I didn't really even think about it that way, and I like those kind of games, right? I mean, it's just hopefully we're not too distant from that Super Bowl to remember what that game was like, and how fantastic that was for the Chiefs to win that Super Bowl. I mean, that was pretty darn amazing. Just such a great thing for the city, and to have that kind of memory coming back is going to be good. Seeing those two red and gold kind of hues out there from the color spectrum. But it's look, it's always tough to go out there. The 49ers have great history. They're definitely one of those
Marquee
dynasty
franchise.
slash royalty teams in the NFL. So yeah, it's going to be a great game. I wasn't trying to be, using that term again, overly Homer-like, and just trying to pump the Chiefs up. But I see them coming out, they're just going to be on. I think the Chiefs are going to be on fire in this game. At least I hope, right? I hope that they take all the things, like you said, that they learn from losses and apply it. And if the 49ers continue to play a little banged up, that's going to be in the Chiefs' favor. So, especially if Bosa isn't 100%. Like, I don't, if at 3-3, he may be feeling the pressure himself to come back early, because the 49ers have a they got a pretty rough schedule coming up here, and I'm sure they're going to want to have it. It's kind of like the they're gonna want to have it's a combination, is what I'm trying to say. They're gonna want to make sure that Bosa is healthy for the stretch, but they also don't want to start this next string here with a loss. Because they got the Rams coming, they got the Chargers, couple California opponents, and they got the Cardinals, who are playing better. The Cardinals are no slouch, and then they got the Saints and the Dolphins. I mean, the
That's a
Bucks. I
tough.
mean.
That is tough. Opposed to, I think the Chiefs, I think this again has been a really tough game. And then the Chiefs schedule, we talked so much about the early part of the season, which has not been as tough as we predicted, just the teams they've faced. But their schedule kind of softens the second half of the season, partly because the AFC West is playing so poorly.
Yeah, I mean, we thought that, when all those statistics came out, it was giving me agita, right? Thinking about, that they were playing the the worst, you know, it was the toughest schedule of all time NFL wise, right? For first eight games with, you know, winning percentages and all that jazz. You know, but it's looking like, you know, where some of the teams that they're playing, you know, the whole season looks like it could go like this. I mean, you know, I mean, I look further down, not to look past the Niners, but, you know, I mean, the Titans, the Jags are struggling a little bit here and there. They're having their ups and downs. I'm not seeing the Super Bowl repeat that I would have seen from the Rams. You know, we know about the Chargers, of course, and the Broncos and the Bengals. I mean, I don't know if that's the same, if they're the same team that they were, the Texans, the Seahawks, the Broncos again, the Raiders. I mean, the Chiefs could, you know, if they play their cards right and they get healthy, there's no reason why, you know, they can't be at least battling for that home field position. Even though they lost that first battle to the Bills, there's no reason why they can't be in contention for home field throughout, given the remainder of their schedule. And if they can, you know, pop in at, you know, 14-3 or, you know, maybe 13-4, which is so odd to say, isn't it? Those odd, the number, like, to not have something add up to 16, it's still throwing me off a little bit. But I have a feeling that they're going to be in that range coming into the season.
You know, and Jay, that's a great point. I think that the Chiefs will be battling for that number one seed. And I think it's going to be crucial. If we see this as a two horse race, you know, a lot could happen. You don't know who's going to be healthy or not at the end of the season. The Chiefs play the Bills in Arrowhead again. I like the Chiefs' chances. They have to go to Buffalo, though. Jeez, that given what that franchise has been through, that's going to be a tough environment to play. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, and as we saw in the Chiefs game, the Bills have it's not a great running game. I mean, they don't have a Tennessee Titans,
right?
You know,
right.
running game. You know, like, you know, with the Derrick Henry, but they still ran the ball pretty well against the Chiefs. I was not pleasantly surprised. I was disappointingly surprised that they ran the ball so well. And it didn't seem like it was by chance either. It seemed like it was part of the Bills game plan. So this full circle on your comment about having to go to Buffalo versus Kansas City, you know, that's a tough place to play. I mean, not that a Kansas City, you know, AFC championship game would be a lot cool, you know, warmer than Buffalo, but that Buffalo, man, you get there in late January. Holy cow. It's a totally different ball game up there than playing in a Kansas City winter game. So, you know, that would be another reason why I would just have a little pause about not having that home field advantage, right? Because it's just, the weather's just, it's different. It really is. I hate to admit it, but it's, and not to be, to, you know, it's football, right? You're not supposed to deal with the weather, but it, you know, throwing the ball and getting a passing game established in a place like Buffalo late in January can be difficult if you're not used to playing in that environment.
Joe, you obviously have firsthand experience that playing an AFC championship game in Buffalo. Also some firsthand experience of this game is really neat too, because the franchises are, you mentioned Niners are an iconic franchise and really interconnected with the Chiefs. Not only the recent Super Bowl 54, you mentioned the color pattern, the interlocking letters on the logo, all those Chiefs quarterbacks, including guys you played with, like Joe Montana, Steve Bono, came from the Niners. Steve Bono is actually now, he's an alumni coordinator on the Niners. It should be a fun game on the field and also for those reasons too.
Yeah, I mean, that's don't forget about our buddy Steve DeBerg. He was also another integrated 49ers Chiefs QB. A lot of history there with these franchises, and you know, it'll be it's gonna be a great game. It's always, you know, it's always fun to you know, branch out from, you know, from the AFC and get into the NFC to see how we're doing. I mean, the NFC is, much like the AFC, just do a little commentary there. I mean, it's kind of topsy turvy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, who would have thought, you know, the Eagles are 6-0, the Giants are 5-1. I
thought the AFC West was going to be the best division. And I thought that, and I, this is probably what you're going to say, Joe, I thought the NFC East was going to be the worst division, and it's the opposite, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you got the 4-2 Cowboys, even playing without Dak Prescott, and then you got the Giants, who I had been saying all year, in the NFC at least, had done the best job in the draft. I thought the Eagles had done a really good job in the offseason of picking players up, like, you know, AJ Brown, but I thought the Giants did the best in the NFC as far as like the where they drafted for need and the players that they got. And it's showing. It's showing that the NFC East has gone from the NFC least to the NFC beast. So you know, it's gonna be interesting to see how the NFC all plays out. But it's always fun watching the teams cross conference. So it's another reason that makes this game fun. I think if I'm a fan watching this game, I think this game is going to be, listen, I could probably say it every week, and you don't want to overuse the whole "the game is won up front" cliche, but this particular game, I really do think the Chiefs need to win the game up front, and that will start to send a message that, you know, that this team has it together on the offensive line, because they need, you know, they're going to need that down the stretch. They're going to need that unit to work seamlessly together if they're going to make that run to getting the number one seed in the AFC and, you know, beating the Bills in a rematch if that happens.
Yeah. So is that kind of your matchup to watch? Cause it makes sense. The Niners have a tough front seven to see how the Chiefs do against
them. They really do. I think establishing the line of scrimmage, you know, giving Patrick more time, you know, to find his receivers, just giving him that extra second and not being so, you know, just don't want him to be Swiss cheese, right? You just don't want the defensive players getting through too quickly, whether it's, you know, blitzing or, you know, straight pass rush. We can't allow, you know, Patrick to be kind of scared out of his pocket. And I think that's going to be the, you know, that's going to be the real critical piece, I think, for the game is the Chiefs establishing the line of scrimmage, including that 3 to 4 yard box where the linebackers are. That whole area they need to really, really establish. And my gosh, Jeff, I know we talked about it early on, but this run pass option and causing teams to have ineligible receivers downfield, it's like every week I see more and more and more of it. So somewhere that rules committee is going to have to take a look at this and see how they can help teams get past it, because, you know, they call Creed Humphrey for one, and he was a non-factor.
What's he supposed to do? You know, like,
it just wasn't, he wasn't even a factor. It wasn't like he caused a pass interference or anything down there. It's just, it's so hard to tell with this RPO. And, you know, it's just one of those things I just threw as a little nugget out there for listeners and fans to watch for is, you know, how teams are adapting to that.
It's a great point, Joe. And like, you know, Creed, what was he supposed, you know, when it's an RPO, he doesn't know run pass. So yeah, it's tough on the linemen. I'm sure you empathize. Joe, what I'm looking for and interested, so you said how you were disappointed that the Bills have not a spectacular running game, but still got chunks with Singletary. The Chiefs have had a really good run defense this year, but have shown cracks the last two games against the Raiders and the Bills. The Niners have a you know, it's a Shanahan offense. That running game is consistent year in, year out. I'm curious, this will be another good test to see how the Chiefs run defense does. Well, if you enjoyed this show presented by iBetOnline, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminaire, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.